The Petaluma Radio Players.
Like talking on air.
And now, the Petaluma Radio Players, located just north of the Golden Gate Bridge in Northern California's Sonoma County, bring you another provocative radio drama from their home on Petaluma, KPCA, LPFM 103.3, and www.kpca.fm. Our drama during this week's presentation, The Malevolent Mathematician, by UK playwright Vince Staden. 1, 2, 3, 4? Just how many Professor Moriartys are there? Something doesn't add up, but something, or someone, is definitely coming down at 16 feet per second. Who's falling from that hot air balloon over the Reichenbach Falls? Or are pigeons just getting larger? Is length times width times death the new math? Find out in the Petaluma Radio Player's presentation of The Malevolent Mathematician.
Interior, 221B Baker Street, early morning, summer 1895.
Watson, you have probably never heard of Professor Moriarty.
Of course I've bloody well heard of Professor Bloody Moriarty. Everybody's heard of Professor Moriarty. In fact, I'd be astounded if there would happen to exist somewhere in some far and distant land, cut off from all civilization, a tribe of savages who hadn't heard of Professor Sodding Moriarty.
But Watson, I think that you
Do you know why everybody's heard of him, Holmes? I'll tell you why. It's because you go on and on and on and on about the man every single bloody day. That's why. You're obsessed with him. You blame everything on Professor Moriarty. From bank robberies to late postal services, from street murders to overcooked breakfasts, the culprit in your cocaine-addled delusional imagination is always Professor James Moriarty. If a cat breaks wind in the next room, you blame the so-called Napoleon of crime.
Well, if that's your attitude, Watson...
Well, and on what evidence do you base your insane suspicions? None whatsoever. They're completely without foundation. And why? Because Moriarty is dead, Holmes. Dead. Dead, 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 dead. Moriarty is dead, and you are insufferable. Quite simply the rudest man I've ever known. And I'm leaving 221B Baker Street this very instant. Tomorrow I shall marry Miss Violet Spedding, and I shall be a happy man leading a normal life away from Sherlock Holmes and his crackpot theories about Professor Bloody Moriarty.
Well, Watson, you mustn't leave like this.
Look around you, Holmes. All my possessions have gone. You haven't noticed because, well, you never notice anything important. You never notice me, Holmes. But nonetheless, my room is empty, my bags are packed, and I no longer share rooms with you. I gave my notice to Mrs. Hudson many months ago, the day I set the date for my wedding. This is goodbye, Holmes. I don't expect to see you tomorrow as I take Violet to be my wife. You've never once mentioned her, so I don't expect you to start taking an interest now.
I do feel I ought to just...
Tomorrow is a new start for me. If you were to apply that great mind of yours to rational matters and stop this foolish obsession you have with Moriarty, then perhaps tomorrow could be a new start for you too, old friend.
Well, be careful, Watson, and you must look out.
There's no danger in store for me, Holmes. Only the love of a good woman awaits me. Goodbye, Holmes.
You must look out for the bicycle I left at the top of the stairs. Come in, Mrs. Hudson.
Telegram for you, Mr. Holmes.
Mrs. Hudson, are you crying?
I can't help it, Mr. Holmes. Poor Dr. Watson.
Well, it wasn't that funny, Mrs. Hudson. Watson could have suffered a serious injury. Now then, this is the telegram I was expecting. Ha! The sheer impertinence!
Whatever does it say, Mr. Holmes?
It says, Mr. Holmes, there are matters we must discuss urgently. Meet me tomorrow at Doyle's Tea House, 3 p.m. Professor Moriarty.
Exterior, streets of London, day.
I walked, or rather limped, away from Baker Street, and from Mr. Sherlock Holmes, in a melancholy mood. For hours I wandered aimlessly through the streets of London, my mind a tangle of conflicting emotions. Tomorrow I was to be married to my beloved Violet, but my thoughts were only concerned with Sherlock Holmes. It was clear to me that our friendship was at an end, for I had completely lost all patience with the man and his paranoid obsession with the late Professor Moriarty. I walked for many hours, and I began to wonder if Holmes's paranoia was infectious, for I had the uneasy feeling that I was being followed. A baker, selling cakes and hot buns to hungry customers, seemed to be there in the street behind me whenever I happened to look back over my shoulder.
Royal cakes! Victoria buns!
I even began to imagine that there was something familiar about the man, but I shrugged off such nonsensical thinking. At some point in my purposeless wandering through London, I found myself in the district of Smithfield, and almost inevitably my weary feet carried me to St. Bart's Hospital. A wave of nostalgia, though it could possibly have been nausea, swept through me as I recalled that my very first meeting with Sherlock Holmes had taken place in that very building.
Interior, Chemical Laboratory, St. Bart's Hospital, Day, 14 years earlier.
In 1881, I had been looking for lodgings in London. An old friend from my university days named Stamford remarked to me that he knew of a fellow who was bemoaning that he could not get someone to go halves with him in some nice rooms in Baker Street. A meeting between the two of us was swiftly arranged at the Chemical Laboratory in St. Bart's Hospital.
Now listen, Watson. You mustn't blame me if you don't get along with this Sherlock fellow. You propose this arrangement, so you must not hold me responsible. My advice is to just play along with him, indulge his crackpot theories, and hide the cocaine.
Ah, I found it! I found it! I have found a reagent which is precipitated by hemoglobin and by nothing else.
Just play along. Dr. Watson, Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Hello, Mr. Holmes. forgive my croaky voice, Mr. Holmes. I have just returned from Afghanistan, and I'm readjusting to the English climate.
How are you? You have been in Afghanistan, I perceive.
Well, yes, I just said so.
Indulge him, Watson.
How on earth did you know that?
Ha ha! Never mind. The question now is about hemoglobin. No doubt you see the significance of this discovery of mine.
Oh, it's interesting chemically, no doubt, but practically...
Why, man! It is the most practical medico-legal discovery for years. Don't you see that it gives us an infallible test for bloodstains? Let me demonstrate. Would you be so kind as to roll up your sleeve, Dr. Watson?
Why?
Indulge me, please.
Oh, very well.
Hold out your arm. That's excellent. Now, for this demonstration, I need a small quantity of fresh blood.
What? What are you doing? Keep that needle away from... Ow! That hurt, you maniac!
Now, I add the small quantity of blood to a litre of water.
Small quantity? That's nearly an armful.
You perceive that the resulting mixture has the appearance of pure water? The proportion of blood cannot be more than one in a million. I have no doubt, however, that we shall be able to obtain the characteristic reaction. Watch closely. Ha-ha! What do you think of that?
I think you're a...
cane fruitcake, Victoria buns, hot and tasty, get them here!
Exterior, St. Bart's Hospital, late afternoon.
The cries of the baker selling his wares broke me out of my reverie, and I suddenly realised that I was hungry. They smell delicious. How much for the cake?
Penny each, Dr. Watson.
How do you know my name? Who are you? You look familiar to me.
Of course I do, Dr. Watson. We were friends for many years. We studied together in this very building.
It can't be. Stamford?
That's right. Fallen on hard times, have. Forced to walk the bleeding streets selling cakes. Say, how did you get along with that Sherlock Holmes fellow I introduced you to all those years ago?
I've just been musing on that meeting, Stamford. Do you recall what you said to me before you introduced me to Sherlock Holmes?
You said
you mustn't blame me if you don't get on with this Sherlock fellow. You must not hold me responsible.
So I did. Hell of a memory you got, Dr. Watson.
Stamford, I've been waiting 11 years to do this.
Do what?
This!
Oh!
Interior, Doyle's Tea House, 3 p.m.
Professor Moriarty, we meet again.
Again? You are mistaken, Mr. Sherlock Holmes. We have never met each other until this moment. You have, however, had dealings with my brother. Matters came to a head between the two of you, and only one of you walked away from the encounter at Reichenbach Falls.
I see. You are the late Professor Moriarty's identical twin. Remarkable. I have only recently investigated a case that involved twin brothers and doppelgangers, a case of murder and body snatching that had the grubby fingerprints of Professor Moriarty all over it. It seems I have been looking for the wrong Moriarty. Mea culpa.
To err is human.
And to forgive is divine. Naturally, you seek revenge upon me for your brother's death.
Naturally. The Moriartys are a large family and very close. You took from us our brother and robbed the world of a brilliant mind. You have entered into a blood feud with the most dangerous people in the world, Mr. Holmes. I hope you're prepared to suffer humiliation and extreme torture before you die a slow, agonizing death. More tea?
Thank you. I see from the tattoo on your left hand that you have spent some time incarcerated at Her Majesty's pleasure. Did prison agree with you?
I am never going back.
Then don't commit crimes.
I do what I do best. I specialize in criminal enterprise. You do what you do best, trying to stop fellows like me.
You never wanted a normal type life.
What on earth is that? Ballroom dances and card games.
That's part of it.
Oh, that's nice. Is that your life?
No. Every moment I can spare, I devote to chasing criminals like you.
A man told me once, you want to make moves? Don't keep anything in your life you're not willing to walk out on in 30 seconds flat. If you feel the heat around the corner.
I don't know how to do anything else.
Neither do I.
And I don't much want to.
Neither do I.
We're sitting here like a couple of regular fellows. You do what you do. I do what I have to do. What happens if I'm there and I must choose to put you away? If it's between you and some poor unfortunate whose wife you're going to make into a widow, Moriarty brother, you are going down.
There's a flip side to that coin. What if you have me boxed in and I have to put you down? Because no matter what, you will not get in my way. I won't hesitate, not for one second. Shall I pour?
I note that you are not drinking, Moriarty. Do you not enjoy the tea they serve here?
No, Mr. Holmes. That is not the reason for my abstinence.
What have you put in this tea?
Poison, Mr. Holmes. You are dying. How does it feel? Goodbye, Mr.
Damn
Holmes.
Damn you, Moriarty!
Oh, the way is clear for the Moriarty family to deal with Dr. Watson. He has quite a surprise ahead of him. Oh, I do so enjoy a good wedding.
Interior, Langham Hotel lobby, early evening.
Good evening, madam. Welcome to the Langham Hotel. How may I help you?
Good evening. I'm looking for a guest. I believe he checked in today. His name is Dr. Watson, Dr. John Hamish Watson.
Hamish? Really? I always wondered what the H stood for. I've followed Dr. Watson's Sherlock Holmes stories in Strand magazine with considerable interest, you see. My favorite is The Final Problem. That Professor Moriarty was a monster. Do you think the professor will appear in another Sherlock Holmes story?
I'm certain that you have not seen the last of Professor Moriarty. Now, would you be kind enough to please tell me where I can find Dr. Watson?
Oh, yes, of course, madam. Please excuse me for twittering on. You will find Dr. Watson in the hotel bar. He's rather worse for wear, I'm afraid.
Interior, Langham Hotel Bar, evening.
Yes. That hit the spot. Another pint, please, barmaid.
Sir, I think you may have had your fill for the day.
Nonsense. Just got started. Only been here for... how long have I been here?
6 hours, sir.
Is that all? Just warming up. And I need to rest my feet. You see, I fell over a damn bicycle and then went for a long, long walk. Needed to clear my mind. Getting married tomorrow. Lovely young woman named Violet. Long blonde hair, fantastic pair of...
John, there you are.
Spectacles. Hello, Violet.
John, darling, I've been looking for you everywhere. Mrs. Hudson tells me you have moved out of Baker Street after a horrid argument with Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Forget Sherlock Holmes, Violet, dear. Man's obsessed with Professor... what's he called?
Moriarty. John, I think you've had too much to drink. You're going to have a very sore head tomorrow, on the most important day of your life.
Most important day of my life? Why? What's happening tomorrow?
We're getting married!
Well, yes, I know that, of course. Getting married, absolutely. I meant, apart from that?
I have been looking for you since 4 o'clock this afternoon to tell you that I have received a telegram from the Reverend Russell. He has fallen ill and will not be able to perform the wedding service tomorrow. Apparently, he has found a replacement. Now that I've told you what I needed to tell you, you must go to bed, John. Get some sleep. I shall see you tomorrow at the church.
I cannot wait to be your husband, lovely, lovely Violet. And don't worry, I shall be on my very best behavior. Oh, excuse me. Barmaid, another pint, please.
Interior, church, main hall, early morning, next day.
Dr. Watson looks so handsome.
He looks thoroughly hungover to me, Mrs. Hudson.
And doesn't the bride look perfectly beautiful, Inspector Lestrade? Inspector!
No, sorry, Mrs. H. I was dozing off. I hate weddings.
There's very little time left before the wedding vows. Do you think Mr. Holmes will make it?
I don't think Mr. Holmes is remotely interested in Dr. Watson or his bride. He isn't coming, Mrs. Hudson, the heartless swine.
Dear friends, we are gathered here today to witness the marriage of John Hamish and Jane Violet. Having come to love each other deeply and sincerely, they now wish to unite their lives. In this ceremony, they dedicate themselves to the happiness and well-being of each other, and we, their friends and family, join with them in this celebration and dedication. Dr. John Hamish Watson, do you take this woman, Professor Jane Violet Moriarty, to be your lawful wedded wife?
I do. No. Wait, what do you mean, Professor Jane Moriarty?
Professor Moriarty, do you take Dr. Watson to be your husband?
I do.
What's going on? I don't understand this. Violet?
I now pronounce you husband and wife. You may kiss the bride.
Come here, husband. Let us celebrate our love with a kiss.
Get off me! Violet, what did the Reverend mean when he called you Professor Moriarty?
Oh, you foolish man. I am Jane Violet Moriarty, Professor of Advanced Mathematical Theorems and head of the most powerful and ruthless criminal organization in the world.
And I am her brother, Professor John Moriarty.
This can't be happening. It's all an alcohol-fueled nightmare.
I am Inspector Lestrade from Scotland Yard, and I demand to know what is going on here.
Kill him, my brother.
Consider it a wedding gift, sister.
No!
Inspector Lestrade!
I am all right, Mrs. H. You got me in the arm.
Monstrous! Stop this violence! This is a house of God!
And this is a .45 revolver. Now shut up or I will use it on you.
Think about what you're doing.
I told you to shut up!
Tie them all up, my brother. Each and every one of them gathered here today. Tie the ropes tightly, and I shall attend to the bomb.
Bomb? What bomb? What's going on?
Shut up! You will speak when you're spoken to, husband. Now come with me.
I'm not going anywhere with you.
Brother, shoot Dr. Watson in the shoulder.
With pleasure.
That hurt!
Thank you, brother. Please continue to tie up the congregation. Now, as I was saying, I must take you to the Red Room, dear husband. I shall set the bomb and we shall enjoy our honeymoon.
Interior, church, Red Room, minutes later.
Do you know why this room is known as the Red Room, dear husband? It is called the Red Room because of the distinctive red bricks that the room was constructed with.
Fascinating. I would never have guessed. You mentioned something about a bomb?
My wedding gift to you, John Hamish Watson. A beautiful, intricately constructed, incendiary device that will blow this building to smithereens and kill everybody you love. The bomb was designed along pure mathematical principles, from the delicate balance of chemicals to the matrices and number systems that activate the timer device. Only a genius could fathom the workings of this device. I owe a great deal of debt to my late brother, whose book on the dynamics of an asteroid provided the inspiration for the mathematical equations. There, it is ready.
I don't know what I ever saw in you.
I have rope burns on my hands from tying up all those foolish people. Is the bomb ready?
It is. 6 minutes and this wedding will end with a bang.
That's how most of my weddings end.
Then we had better get out of here.
Interior, church main hall.
I must say, that was hardly the kind of wedding service I expected. Standards are decidedly slipping. I shall raise the matter with my vicar.
Did I hear something about a bomb?
You did indeed, Lestrade. Which is why I must break free of these ropes and prevent it from detonating.
Reverend?
No, Lestrade. Sherlock Holmes! I have been in disguise.
My word! That's extraordinary!
Upon my soul, but how? What?
No time to explain, Lestrade. I must break free. I have studied the art of escapology under the tutelage of the remarkable Mr. Harry Houdini. Ah, I have a hand free. Now for the other one. Yes. Yes, I have it.
Holmes, you don't have time to release all these people. That bomb could explode at any moment.
I know it, Lestrade. But I shall free you so that you may help me. Here, hold out your hands.
Quickly, Holmes. Watch my arm. I have a bullet in it.
Tricky knots, these. There.
Good man.
We will follow Watson's trail of blood to discover where the bomb is.
Or we could just head to the Red Room at the back of the church, since that is where Professor Moriarty and said the bomb is hidden.
Interior, church, Red Room.
No sign of Dr. Watson or the Moriartys. Well, that must be the bomb.
A most impressive piece of engineering, by the look of it.
Don't just stand there admiring it, Mr. Holmes. Disarm the abominable thing.
I cannot. There must be a mathematical reasoning behind the mechanism. If we can ascertain what it is, we can safely cut the correct wire.
Just cut the red wire?
That would be exceptionally foolish, Lestrade. The timer is a sophisticated design based on complicated matrices and number systems. Without knowing what those equations are, I could very well blunder into detonating the bomb.
Exterior, church courtyard.
There! A transport awaits us.
Hurry up. I need to get the balloon in the air.
Good Lord. It's a hot air balloon. I am not getting in that thing.
Get in, or I'll put another bullet in you.
Were you bullied at school? All you seem to do is threaten to shoot people.
Come on, come on. I need to reach an altitude of at least 60 feet before that bomb goes off.
Calm yourself, my brother. We are all safely aboard, and we have plenty of time. Take us up.
Hold on. This might be a bit bumpy.
Is this a good time to mention that I not only have a mighty hangover, I'm also terrified of heights?
Someone shut this idiot up.
Oh, another threat of violence. I take it you must be another Professor Moriarty.
You are correct, Dr. Watson. I am Professor Jake Moriarty, head of the North American chapter of the Moriarty Crime Cartel. And an expert hot air balloonist.
Just how many Professor Moriartys are there, for heaven's sake?
Interior, church, Red Room.
Mr. Holmes, you must think of a way to disarm this bomb. I do not wish to be blown to kingdom come by a malevolent mathematician. I still think you should cut the red wire.
Don't be an imbecile, Lestrade. Now, please be quiet. I'm thinking. That's curious. See the small pool of blood there in the corner? That must have been where Watson was sitting.
Yes, I noted that earlier, but what of it? I see what you are getting at. Finger marks in the blood.
Watson obviously dipped his finger into his own blood, presumably for the purpose of writing a message.
This is the Red Room, made of red brick. A message in blood scrawled on the wall would not be visible.
Unless you knew what you were looking for. Good old Watson. He remembered our very first meeting when I demonstrated to him the useful application of testing for blood.
Here, I can't see something glistening. Fresh, wet blood.
Yes, definitely a message.
C-E-R-E-S. C-E-R-E-S.
Ceres.
The Roman goddess? How does that help us?
It doesn't. However, Ceres is also the name of a large asteroid. And the late Professor James Moriarty wrote a book called The Dynamics of an Asteroid. Watson has seen me reading it many, many times. Perhaps his sister used the equations of the asteroid's size and mass as a basis for the matrices of the timer mechanism.
I don't like this word, perhaps, Mr. Holmes, especially when we're talking about disarming a bomb.
If I remember correctly, Ceres' size and mass are sufficient to give it a nearly spherical shape. That is, it is close to hydrostatic equilibrium. It has a mass of 9 times 1,020 kilograms, which is...
9,690.
Precisely. That number is the key, Lestrade.
Excellent. So what do we do now?
I cut the red wire.
Did I mention that I hate weddings?
Exterior, church courtyard.
They came through this door. Three sets of footprints, splatters of fresh blood from Watson's shoulder wound.
The footprints stop here. Perhaps they boarded a hansom cab.
There would be tracks from the wheels, hoofprints from the horses.
Oh, damn this fog. If the air was clearer, we would have a better view of the land.
Look here, Lestrade. The grass has been flattened. Yes, there was a large square of flattened grass. Something very large and very heavy has recently been resting here.
Perhaps Mrs. Hudson's been outside for a nap.
I have it, Lestrade. Ho ho! That is clever.
What is Mr. Holmes?
Don't you see, Lestrade? The only possible explanation that fits all the facts is that Watson was snatched away by the Moriartys in some kind of hot air balloon.
By Jove, I think you are absolutely correct in the matter, Mr. Holmes. But the question now is, where are they heading for?
The answer is obvious. The Moriarty family is taking Dr. Watson to the resting place of their late brother, the original Professor James Moriarty. They are heading, Lestrade, for the Reichenbach Falls, and we must give chase.
Give chase? They have taken to the skies, Mr. Holmes. What form of transportation could we possibly use to catch them?
Exterior, skies above Swiss Alps. Balloon, 3 days later.
It took 3 days to reach Switzerland and the Reichenbach Falls. It was a journey I'd taken before in the company of Mr. Sherlock Holmes with Professor Moriarty hot on our trail. Now I was travelling with Professor Moriarty, or rather with three Professor Moriartys, one of whom I was inadvertently married to. Oh, my life had suddenly become very complicated.
We are now at an altitude of 900 feet, allowing us to clear the Reichenbach Falls by approximately 10 feet. Look down there to your left. We are approaching the falls where our brother met his doom.
And it is where Dr. Watson shall meet his doom.
Exterior, skies above Swiss Alps. Second balloon.
Are we there yet?
Lestrade, you've been asking me that for 3 days. How fast do you think these hot air balloons travel? We are dependent on wind speed, Lestrade.
Yes, but are we there yet?
As a matter of fact, we are now over the Swiss Alps and should be approaching the Reichenbach Falls at any moment.
Well, kindly inform me once we have set down and I can finally open my eyes.
Exterior, skies above Swiss Alps. First balloon.
There we are, exactly over the falls, 820 feet of rock and water. Fancy a swim, Dr. Watson?
I should have the honor of sending Dr. Watson to his death.
No, this is my plan. I arranged all of this, brought us together for the single purpose of avenging our brother's death. It was me who masqueraded as a client of Sherlock Holmes so that I could catch the eye of Dr. Watson. For months, I have been pretending to be the besotted lover of this half-wit in the stupid moustache.
I say, steady on. There's no need to be insulting.
Shut up! This grand master plan is all my work, a scheme of mathematical genius. Therefore, it is me who should have the pleasure of pushing Dr. Watson into the Reichenbach Falls.
You can't do that. That's murder. My murder.
Shut up. Jane Violet, you should be the one to do it. Get it over with. We are running out of fuel.
Kill Dr. Watson, my sister, and then vengeance shall be ours.
The ridiculously insane laughter of the Moriarty family rang in my ears as I faced certain death. Bound securely with rope and with the gunshot wound in my shoulder making me weak with pain, I was only able to muster a shamefully feeble resistance. The hands of Jane Violet Moriarty, my fourth wife, or was it my fifth, gripped me and shoved me towards the edge of the basket. And then she pushed me out, and I plummeted to my doom!
Ah! Exterior, second balloon.
Look, there's the other balloon! To the right, and above us.
I can't see a thing, Mr. Holmes. I'm absolutely petrified, opening my eyes.
Good heavens! Somebody has fallen out of the other hot air balloon.
That's not the kind of thing I want to hear, Mr. Holmes.
It's Watson. I'd recognize that moustache anywhere.
Dr. Watson has fallen out of the other hot air balloon.
More likely he was pushed. If I can maneuver the balloon into position, I can save him. Yes, that should do it. Step aside, Lestrade. We are about to receive a visitor. Oh, ha-ha! Perfect timing and precision positioning. Welcome aboard, Watson.
Holmes? Holmes, is that you? Is this a dream? No, it can't be a dream. There are no women here. I was pushed out of a balloon, Holmes, by my wife, Professor Moriarty. I was certain that I was going to die. Strange feeling of peace, actually, and my hangover is gone. Am I babbling? I apologize. It's been a very, very, very strange few days. If you don't mind, Holmes, I think... Oh, hello, Inspector Lestrade. Didn't see you there, cowering in the corner. Why do you have your hands over your eyes? You should be admiring the view, Lestrade. It's breathtaking, and I should know. I've just experienced it at very close hand. Sorry, I was saying... If you don't mind, Holmes, I think I would like to pass out now. Bye.
Good old Watson.
Exterior, skies above Reichenbach Falls. First balloon.
No! I can't believe it!
Another balloon beneath us?
Into which Dr. Watson has fallen to safety?
Utterly impossible. He would surely have fallen onto the top of the balloon. The odds against Dr. Watson falling safely into the basket must be astronomical.
It must be Sherlock Holmes. Nobody else could possibly have such luck or be so amazing. I thought you had gotten rid of him.
I saw him drink the poison. I watched him die.
Well, if he is in that other balloon, he's doing a very poor impression of being a corpse.
We will have to shoot him out of the air.
Aim for the fuel tank.
Exterior, second balloon.
Oh, what's that noise?
The Moriartys are shooting at us.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. I hadn't conceived that things could possibly get any worse, but you have somehow convinced me that they have.
We need to set the balloon down before they hit the fuel tanks. Hang on, Lestrade. This is going to be a bumpy landing.
Exterior, first balloon.
They're losing altitude. They must be attempting to land.
Follow them. Land this damn balloon, then we can follow them by foot and finish them off for good.
Exterior, Reichenbach Falls.
You can open your eyes now, Lestrade. We're back on solid ground.
Thank heavens. Where are we?
We're at the Reichenbach Falls, Inspector. And now we must part company. Stay here and look after Dr. Watson. He is important to me.
Where are you going, Mr. Holmes?
To end this, Lestrade. To once again face up to the final problem.
Exterior, Reichenbach Falls.
We meet again, Mr. Holmes.
We meet again, Mr. Holmes.
We meet again, Mr. Holmes.
Good afternoon, Professor Moriarty. Professor Moriarty and Professor Moriarty. The falls are breathtakingly beautiful, are they not?
Not to us, Mr. Holmes. This is where you killed our brother, Professor Moriarty.
Well, there is that, I suppose.
But now you will finally join him.
We have waited a long time for this, Mr. Holmes.
And now it is time for you to die. But before we kill you, perhaps you would be good enough to explain how you disarmed the bomb.
And how you survived the poison I administered into your tea.
And how you managed to secure the services of a hot air balloon.
The balloon was simple. I borrowed one from the grounds of the Diogenes Club with permission from my brother, Mycroft. As to the poison, I simply switched the small bottle of poison you intended to use on me with a harmless concoction of my own invention, based on a compound I discovered in an earlier case involving a so-called psychic detective. And I disarmed the bomb by simply cutting the red wire.
You are a remarkable man, Mr. Holmes. It is almost a shame to kill you.
Let's get this over with.
Goodbye, Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Goodbye, Professor Moriarty. Professor Moriarty. And Professor Moriarty. Good shooting, Watson!
Thank you, Holmes.
How about thanking me, Mr. Holmes? I got one of them.
Thank you, Lestrade!
Hello, Holmes.
Hello, Watson.
Are they dead, Holmes? Have we finally seen the last of Professor Moriarty, Professor Moriarty, and Professor Moriarty?
Perhaps, Watson. Perhaps. Watson?
Yes, old friend.
Mrs. Hudson is keen to find a suitable occupant to share lodgings with me at 221B Baker Street. I was wondering if...
I can move back in straight away, Holmes.
I was hoping you would say that, my friend. The game's afoot, Watson.
This has been the Petaluma Radio Players production of The Misadventure of the Malevolent Mathematician by Vince Staden, starring Ian Morris as Sherlock Holmes, Paul Raffel as Dr. John Watson, Kendra Murray as Mrs. Hudson, Emily Lord as Miss Violet Spedding Moriarty, Stephen Dietz as Professor Jake Moriarty, Barton Smith as Professor Moriarty, Stephen Loveliner as Inspector Lestrade, Tom Wilson as Stanford, Cheryl Halling as the receptionist, Ian Morris as the Reverend, and Shirley Bennett as the barmaid. Directed by Pippa Morris. Recording engineer, Ralph Scott. Post-production supervisor, Kathy Murphy. Sound effects courtesy of freesfx.co.uk. Produced by Ralph Scott and Kendra Murray. Copyright 2018, the Petaluma Radio Players, LLC. We are on the web at petalumaradioplayers.com. I'm your announcer, Kendra Murray.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope you have enjoyed this presentation. Please join us on Sundays at 6 p.m. Pacific on KPCA LPFM 103.3 and on the web at kpca.fm. Cheers.
The Petaluma Radio Players.
Like talking, I am.